John Sharp. He is a member of the Bedford County Board of Supervisors. Main topic of conversation, the pending expansion of Forest Middle School, but a couple of other things to get to real quickly. Before that, John, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning, Brian and Mary.
So we've been talking an awful lot on this show about Hurricane Florence in the last couple of weeks, any show in you know, this region has. But actually, members of your family headed down to the Wilmington area to help out in the aftermath?
That's correct. Actually, my wife and three of my four children are heading out today to go down to Wilmington. It's part of Civil Air Patrol's deployment for hurricane disaster relief. They're going to be doing point of distribution. So I'm actually in North Carolina right now, heading back today, and they're leaving Virginia, going to North Carolina. I won't see them until Tuesday.
All right. Well, good for them for going down to help out. Now, one thing let's talk about, we've talked in the program before about these urban development areas. You've got one at 811 and Everett Road area, another out at 811 and 460. And you all are going to be talking about those Monday night. First, for people who haven't heard us, tell us what those are. And apparently these are fairly controversial.
Quickly, a UDA is an area that's designated for high-density development, oftentimes has a commercial component as well. But the reason they exist is the state, in their infinite wisdom, because we know they know everything, they've incentivized them, and they say, well, if you will designate an area as a UDA, we'll give you additional transportation dollars. The theory is, you know, if you pack them in like sardines, then you won't have to build as many roads, and it'll be less roads to maintain in the future. So that's the rationale. I mean, that works well in Northern Virginia, but I don't think it works so well in Bedford County. Unfortunately, the Planning Commission voted, I believe it was 5-1, maybe 6-1, I can't recall, to recommend approval, but I'm opposed. In fact, I wrote an article that was in, I think, the Forest Focus magazine that was printed last year explaining why I'm opposed to the UDA.
And so is Monday going to be a vote on it, or is this going to be a discussion? How's that going to work in the end? Do you expect to be put off? What do you think?
No, it's going to be voted on Monday night by the Board of Supervisors. So the Planning Commission made a recommendation, but the Board of Supervisors ends up doing the adoption. Unfortunately, staff is trying to put the pressure on us because back when this whole process started, I asked the question, hey, look, I'm confident we don't want to go here. Why are we doing this to begin with? That because they asked us to apply for a grant. This was back in the spring of 2017. To fund the study for these UDAs. And I questioned it then and said, well, why would we want to go down this road? And they said, well, you're not committed. This is only applying for a grant, and you don't have to do this. Well, staff didn't tell us that if we don't adopt it, then the county has to pay back the grant. So now they're trying to use that as leverage to get us to approve it. And so Monday night, because they shared this with the Planning Commission, Monday night, if we decide not to adopt the UDA, then we have to then pay back, I believe it's $65,000 in grant money that was spent for the company to do the study. Now, I'm quite frustrated with that because I asked staff, why did we wouldn't go down this road to begin with? And we were told, oh, there's no commitment. There was no mention of having to pay the money back. You know, it's, hey, it's just getting information. And so that's why it got passed by the Board of Supervisors. And now not only do I have to fight it, I have to pay back $65,000 in taxpayer money, which is a waste of taxpayer money. So as you can imagine, I'm a little upset about that.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I know how you're going to vote on that, as a matter of fact. Well, I won't ask you to predict other people's votes, though.
You know, and John, you know, supporters say, though, that this would allow county supervisors to better control growth in the county in these areas. And also more money for road improvements, for roads, which Bedford County needs. I mean, what do you say to that? And do you have any indication as to how your fellow supervisors, what they think about this?
Well, I would say that, first of all, any dollars that you get that have strings attached, you should have second thoughts about taking those dollars. And those strings will change the complexion of forest. It talks about interconnectivity for neighborhoods. And where they're putting these UDAs, there's already some existing neighborhoods. And they want interconnectivity. Now they're trying to reduce the level of interconnectivity and say, well, we'll just put walkways. We won't actually put roads through there. But nevertheless, it's trying to change the complexion of the neighborhood, and we like it the way we have it. I mean, I live in a cul-de-sac. VDOT's trying to eliminate cul-de-sac. We like our cul-de-sac because there's very, very little traffic. We feel safe walking in our neighborhood. The density that's required, we talk about, we're concerned about the impact on the schools, and yet a UDA necessarily increases the density in that area of the county, and they're putting them in forest, by the way, which is where we already have an overcrowding issue as it is with our schools, and they want to place the UDAs in forest so that we can pack them in, and if when you do that, you're going to put more impact on the schools. Now, granted, the state might have a few less miles to maintain with their tax dollars, but I think we're going to more than make up for that and the impact on our schools. So I don't think it's a good trade-off, and I'm definitely voting against it. I don't think there's a good rationale for doing it. In fact, those dollars, what that does is it offsets the developer's cost. If a developer wants to come in and do that, he should put his own money at risk. I shouldn't be putting tax dollars at risk to supplement the development.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about schools now. And the expansion of Forest Middle School has been under discussion for some number of years. I believe the cost first was estimated some number of years ago at about $15 million. Most recently, it was
$14 million. That was $14 million.
$14 million. All right, there you are. Most recently pegged at $22.5 million. And council, I mean, the Board of Supervisors heard earlier this week, now a new proposal of the cost would be $30 million. Do you expect that the board is going to approve that? And if so, where is the money going to come from? Bedford generally runs a pretty tight financial ship.
Yeah, that's a good question. And clearly, I don't know the answer. But, you know, if anybody's been paying attention for a while, this is the same song that we've heard every time we go to do any type of school capital improvement project. When I first got elected to the board, we were talking about renovating and expanding Jefferson Forest. And there were a number of people that were trying to push that project up to $60 million, and they wanted to build a new school. Fortunately, I got elected, and that didn't happen. That project, because of some fiscal restraint shown by the Board of Supervisors and the leadership, specifically of Steve Arrington, that project came in under budget at $38.5 million. And that was a very large project. We recently were told that the Bedford Middle School project was going to be in the neighborhood of $28 million. And then they came back and said, no, 33. And then they came back and said, oh, well, the same architect that we have for this project, they came and told us that it was going to be $54 million. $54 million. And I was flabbergasted. And I kept pushing back and saying, look, if we spend this kind of money on a building, we're going to be paying the debt service for the next 25 years. And those dollars, the dollars are fixed. There's not an infinite supply of tax dollars. And if we're paying debt service, that's money that we don't have available to pay our teachers and our staff. We just heard from HR just recently that there's still a lot of compression issues we're trying to deal with, and a number of other salaries where we're not competitive. and they're trying to fix that. But in order to fix that, you've got to, you know, pay people more money. But if you're paying debt service on a building instead, because that's what you've chosen to prioritize, then you don't have the money available to pay your staff.
So do you oppose a $30 million price tag then?
Yes, I do. But here's the thing. What I get frustrated is, just because I oppose that doesn't mean I'm opposed to the project. And unfortunately, some people can't hear that. They think, well, if you don't give the school board everything they're asking for, then you must be opposed to the project, or you're trying to cut corners. And what I'm telling you, I asked the question, I asked point blank in that meeting, how are you justifying these increases? The soft cost, they said, had increased from $3 million to $4.5 million. I asked point blank, what's the explanation? Do you know what the answer was?
Obviously.
We don't have one.
Well,
seriously, that was the literal answer. I'm sorry, we don't have an explanation as to how it went from $3 million to $4.5 million.
So then,
when I asked about $3 million cost estimate for site prep, when there's not a tree to clear, it's already sloped exactly the way they would need to slope for just about everything. I'm asking, how can you justify $3 million for site prep? And the gentleman said, the guy who would be doing the work estimated that that's what it would cost. And I said, well, of course he's going to tell you that. He has an incentive to tell you that. And I asked our architect and engineer, I said, you know, you obviously have an incentive for this price tag to go up as well, because you're getting paid more money if this project's price goes up. And he admitted that's correct, that his payment, that the payment to that architectural and engineering firm, BMDO, is a percentage of the overall project. So he has absolutely no incentive to hold the cost down. The only people that have the incentive to hold the cost down are the people who recognize that the money's not unlimited, the ones who have to foot the bill, and you know how they try to twist your arm to get you to give in and give them what they want? They start talking about, well, you know, we're going to have to cut the band area, or we're going to have to cut the library. You know, next thing you know, they're going to have to cut the cafeteria and you're not going to get a lunch.
So,
it's absolutely ridiculous, because they know that the parents will be upset if we cut this thing or we cut that thing.
So, John,
and none of that needs to be cut.
So, John, let me ask you.
I sat there and told the guy, you keep it at 1,200 students. You don't cut anything, but you find a way to save the money.
All right, so, John, before we take a break here and come back and finish the conversation with you, it sounds like you're suspicious of the whole process here. I mean, do you think that the cost was undersold initially and that now they're coming back figuring, you know, they'll give us what we want?
Did the Bedford Middle School end up costing $54 million?
I'll take that.
No.
I'll take that as a yes, then, Supervisor John Sharp. If you have an overcrowded school, surely rezoning could help you solve that problem and save money on building costs. And then also, how much of it is, as much as people might want to save money, parents in Forest don't want to send their kids to Bedford to go to school?
Well, first of all, it's redistricting, not rezoning. Gosh,
excuse me.
I really do wish we could get that information out there, because I hear people use those words interchangeably. But I understand the apprehension, but I can tell you that some of the explanations that I've heard against redistricting, quite frankly, are sad. When I hear our superintendent tell me, you don't want to get into the politics of that, you don't want to deal with those upset parents, you don't want to inject yourself into that situation, I'm hearing a political answer. I'm not hearing an answer that says what's best for the system as a whole. When I took an oath, and you take an oath every 4 years when you're elected. I've taken it four times now. And when you take that oath, you take it to represent all of Bedford County, not just your district. That you're looking out for the best interest of all of the citizens, because we're all in this together. And my frustration is this. If we have such a disparity already, then where is the leadership at the school level to fix that disparity, to work on that? That should already be a priority. And that's really a sad state of affairs, that we have a situation in which people say, I don't want to go to that school, I want to go to this one instead. They're just a few miles away in the same system. And if we've got that situation because our school board over the years and administration has neglected that issue, that's a whole nother issue to be dealt with. But in addition, I don't think that I've heard people coupling redistricting with, well, if we redistrict, we don't have to expand Forest Middle School. I disagree with that notion. I think we still have to expand Forest Middle School. I do think that when you redistrict, that should be phased in. If you're already in Forest Middle School or at Jefferson Forest, you should be able to complete all the way through the Forest Zone. But if a child would be entering the sixth grade next year, for instance, then I think that they should go to the Liberty Zone if they're at Outer River. That's my opinion. Obviously, it's not a dictatorship, and I don't even serve on the school board. So I can't make that decision. But in the end, we should do that sooner rather than later, because I think we do a disservice to our community. I've heard staff say, well, we'll do that later when we're over capacity again. Really? So we have a situation now in which the Liberty Zone doesn't have the same offerings that the Forest Zone does, because they just have fewer students. They don't have the population. There's a lot of disparity that could be resolved. And I'm not saying that it's the responsibility of people to make sacrifices here. I'm saying the school board needs to make difficult decisions. They made those difficult decisions when they closed elementary schools and then just arbitrarily said, okay, now everybody's going to go to this new school next year. Everyone. And now you've got those kids crowded and some of them immobile. We just need better decision making as a whole. Now, I'm not saying everybody on the school board's making bad decisions, but I'm just saying as a whole, there needs to be some good, strong decision makers. And I just think that needs to be on the table. That needs to be part of the discussion. But I do think Forest Middle School needs to be expanded. It needs to be expanded in the right way. It needs to be at 1,200 students, because we have the capacity for 1,600 at Jefferson Forest. And we all know that growth is coming to Forest. Everyone wants to live here because it's the greatest place to live. But we have to prepare for the future. And right now, Forest Middle School is my bottleneck. But I want as much capacity as I can have in the Forest schools so that we can accommodate them.
All right, we got to stop it there. John Sharp, Board of Supervisors, Bedford County, thank you.